Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Hey, no regrets. No regrets. We get back in the locker room, no regrets. Play every play like it's your last play. I love every single one of y'all, bro. It's not going to be it for us. It can't be. We too special, man. We too special. Let's get it, y'all. Let's get it done, baby. Lean in your butt.
Hey, guess what Houston has? CJ Stroud. Guess what you don't have? Him. And guess what? He is him. Aren't you ready to run through a wall right now? That was CJ Stroud before Saturday's Texans and Colts game. No regrets. And he spelled it correctly. Unlike the child in Weir, the Millers. The Houston Texans have a lot of Alabama alums on their roster. I'm not even kidding. I think the best part about that is that this is not a team that will take the cheese, sit back, and think too highly of themselves, because many have dealt with Nick Saban and his constant bringing them down a peg or two. He always says you got to avoid the rat traps. Is he calling his players rats? No, he's just saying you can't take the cheese and be satisfied about it, Sean Mapes.
Wait, what's the phrase again?
Did I say it wrong?
It's rat poison.
Is it rat poison?
Yeah.
Rat traps. Same thing. Okay. Avoid the rat poison or the rat traps. As we saw, you know what I did? I confused
Jeff Traylor and Nick Saban.
Right.
Equal coaches. Yes.
About on the same level. Right. I mean, what Jeff Traylor's doing at UTSA is basically like, it's very difficult to do that there.
It's like winning 5-7 national championships.
Yeah. Nick Saban just went to Alabama. Just show up in Alabama and it's all fine. No, I'm kidding on that front. But they got a lot of guys who know how to avoid rat poison and rat traps. But CJ Stroud went to Ohio State. And if you've ever met somebody from Ohio State, oh boy, they're a little arrogant. The Ohio State. Relax. Calm down, Albert Breer. Calm down, James Palmer. James Palmer's actually relatively humble about his Ohio State roots. When you get to the playoffs, all of a sudden, you're going to be fielding questions from media who show up at press conferences that aren't there every single day. And they're going to throw some rat poison questions at you. They're going to set a rat trap right in front of you. CJ Stroud was told that there's a couple of things that he's doing that's a lot like both Tom Brady and Joe Montana.
It's pretty cool. Definitely where I want to be is up there with those guys at the end of my career. And every year that I can go out there and prove myself and put good things on tape and protect the football, do things like that, I think that's a good thing for the Texans. And it's really cool to see those great names next to mine. But I know I have a lot more to do in my career, and I want to do a lot more. So my head is down just working and want to just do more, you know. So
he was gracious at the beginning, but at the end said that I've got lots more to do. Rat poison, avoided. Rat trap, avoided. And the comparison is there's three quarterbacks in the last 50 years that have led the NFL in passing yards a game and pass touchdown to interception ratio. Joe Montana in 1989, Tom Brady in 2007, CJ Stroud in 2023. When Brady and Montana did this, they led their respective teams to Super Bowls. One of those teams won the Super Bowl.
Was it Tom Brady?
Because he
won a bunch of Super Bowls.
He didn't win that one. Sean.
In 07? Weren't they undefeated?
Yeah.
What? So it's natural to think that they won the Super Bowl that they had to have won the Super Bowl that year.
He led them to the Super Bowl.
An awesome team knocked him off, though, right? A real powerhouse with a stud quarterback.
Yeah, like Michael Penix and Washington knocked off Texas.
Yeah.
Right.
Heisman finalist, Michael Penix.
Future Hall of Famer, Eli Manning. Heisman finalist. Heisman winner, Eli Manning.
He did not win.
He didn't win.
He did not win.
Damn it!
He has a nephew. He has a nephew that's going to win the Heisman.
That's you know what? Okay, let's bring it back. Texans, you got to avoid the rat poison. You got to avoid the rat traps. But at the same time, you got to take motivation where you can get it. C.J. Stroud was asked about. Now I'm uncomfortable saying this word, but this is what it's listed in our Total Sports Prep. C.J. Stroud was asked about naysayers at this time of year. Here he is at his press conference.
Say what you want. You know, I don't know. I can't tell somebody how to feel. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I'm going to do my job as best of my ability. If you like it. If you don't, you don't. Most people just say stuff so to get clicks and likes, and that's cool. But we're the ones out there. We're the men in the arena, you know. So I don't really care, to be honest. And I respect everybody's opinion. And whatever it is, I'll get better. Whatever you guys think I need to get better at. Really, it's just ultimately what my coaches and teammates want, you know. And winning games, that's what matters.
So right there, C.J. Stroud gave a politically correct answer when asked about, again, naysayers. He gave a politically correct answer. But I think that this moment on the Pat McAfee show, which he was on earlier this week, when fielding a question from Mullet Guy Patriots fan, whose name I do not know, but who Sean Mapes and I are fascinated by every single day on the Pat McAfee show, this person brought up that there's a lot of people at ESPN who think the Texans are effed Saturday night.
Jay, Ty just mentioned you don't listen to what the media says, and I assume the team doesn't, but just so you know, you do know, right now, the biggest threat to the Ravens is Joe Flacco and the Browns. So just so
oh,
you
yeah,
know.
Oh, yeah, Stephen A. said you guys have no chance.
No chance. No, I'm not a Browns fan, but I'm just telling you.
We have no chance?
Yeah. Right, Stephen A. said a rookie quarterback is not going to do anything in the playoffs.
That's not happening.
You might not have heard it because it was quiet in the background. He said that? All right. I got some goosebumps. Got some chills hearing that. Noted by C.J. Stroud that there are doubters out there. Huh.
I did like that he was like, you're a Browns fan? To the mullet guy.
Right, who is a Patriots fan, so.
He looks like a Browns fan. Like, if we're profiling, I don't think we get to Patriots very fast.
He looks like a Jaguars fan.
See, to me, he looks like he's trying to be. Like, there is something where he doesn't look like a Florida guy.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, up Mullet Guy Pat McAfee Show. We don't even know what his name is.
We just know
he's got a mullet, and it's a very distinctive look. So there you go. But C.J. Stroud's avoiding the rat poison and the rat traps. And I hope that he also took note of what former Houston Texan Jordan Akins had to say. Because he said the Browns are the better team. And also that he takes note of what another 2022 Houston Texans said, Ogbo Okonkwo, who said that Houston is my city. Interesting. Hashtag interesting. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to jump aboard the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. It is that time of the week. Soft boys. Nominate people that you feel have been soft over the course of the past week. I don't think anyone's coming off as more soft as literally everyone involved in the Jimmy Kimmel versus Aaron Rodgers saga, which has reached peak annoying. Of course, we're going to talk about it. We want ratings, baby. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pump it up.
Come on, Digna. It's too small for the both of us.
No, it isn't. Jump on, man. I'll give you a pump.
Back.
back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
That time of the week, it's 11:15. Do you know somebody who's been soft of late? Well, we're going to throw them under the bus and hopefully get them hard in a new segment every Wednesday at 11:15 called Soft Boys.
Soft boys in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
Shout out to Ime Udoka inspiring this segment by calling LeBron James a soft-ass boy and telling him to stop bitching during a Rockets-Lakers game. Okay, I hate to throw a flag on the head coach of the Houston Texans, who have been flagged a lot this season, but soft boy, D'Amico Ryan's immune system or D'Amico Ryan's voice, like Jim Irsay, I do not think D'Amico's going to be singing anytime soon. Here he is at yesterday's press conference. His voice sounded raggedy.
It's not different. It's not. Everybody wants to make it different. It's not different. Like, it's just a matter of, like I told our team today, we've been getting better throughout the year. Each and every week we've gotten better. We just have to stay on that track. Keep getting better. Keep playing sound. Keep playing relentless. Play clean football if we do that. And that's all that matters, right? We focus on playing good football. It doesn't matter that it's the playoffs. The game doesn't change. It's still football. We got to go execute. We got to go play fast.
Cough drops, Ricola, Delsom. All sorts of options that D'Amico Ryans can use. I hope he's not sick. Can't be sick before the first playoff game of the season. It's the biggest game of the year for the Texans. On today, the biggest day of your lives. Saturday is going to be the biggest day of D'Amico Ryan's life as an NFL head coach. It's going to be huge. Anyway.
Do you think it helps or hurt the fact that he's sick?
It's kind of hurt a little bit, right? You're going to be tired. You're going to get wipes.
Too.
The long night's going to hurt.
What do you think about the content that he's saying? The play of football is no different than regular season
football. I don't believe that for a second.
I also don't believe that.
I don't believe that for a second.
But, you know, he played. He played in the playoffs.
That's true. He's trying to keep him calm. Slopez69 says, D'Amico's been yelling and yelling. The boys are going to be coached up on Saturday. So he's been yelling in practice. Well, that doesn't make me feel great about, like, hey, what's going on in practice?
Yeah.
Is he yelling at them for all the penalties that they've had the last couple of weeks?
You just have to hope he's sick. Because either he's yelling because he's yelling at guys at practice, or he's yelling because he's been celebrating winning the division for 3 days. So
okay.
Both not good. I hope he's under the weather, which is a funny thing to say.
Right. Yeah. I hope it's something.
I hope it's just COVID.
Oh, man. What if COVID runs through the Texans? Yeah. Remember when you had to, you know, sit out your players and they would make you forfeit the game if you didn't have enough players, and then we realized that was ridiculous?
Speaking of COVID.
Oh. We got hot takes.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Kimmel, the war continued. So Jimmy Kimmel had the first Jimmy Kimmel show of 2024 last night. And on the Jimmy Kimmel show, after all of this time to respond to Aaron Rodgers, this is what his writing team at the Jimmy Kimmel show, this is the comeback that they have to Aaron Rodgers, part of a 7-minute monologue, saying in jest, in my opinion, that I wonder if Jimmy Kimmel's going to be on Epstein's list of visitors.
This, a guy who went to community college, then got into Cal on a football scholarship and didn't graduate, someone who never spent a minute studying the human body, is an expert in the field of immunology. He just put on a magic helmet, and that G made him a genius. Aaron got 2 A's on his report card. They were both in the word Aaron, okay?
Wow. They had all that time to think up a joke, and man, they came back hard on Aaron Rodgers.
I kind of like the name one. Sounds pretty funny.
You actually think it's funny?
Yeah.
Look, as a one-time stand-up comic that had no one laugh at him, I felt like those were worse than my jokes that day? And am I still bitter about it? Yes, I'm sad because I failed. I failed up there. But much like Joe Coy, Jimmy Kimmel, I think he failed here. I watched the whole seven-minute monologue, and it largely was that Aaron Rodgers is very arrogant and thinks he knows everything, which I think a lot of people would agree with. But the comeback wasn't funny. It was more like, my jokes are based in facts. And it's like, no, that's not how this works. It's a roast-off. The roasts should be funny. And look, Kimmel, the first time that he was roasting Rodgers, it was because Rodgers said the government was holding those alien hearings to distract us from Epstein, which led to Kimmel going and making fun of Rodgers, which led to Rodgers stealing a David Bakhtiari joke about how Kimmel might have been on the island on a Pat McAfee show appearance. Pat McAfee, meanwhile, had Aaron Rodgers on his show yesterday, so Rodgers responded to Jimmy Kimmel's monologue.
You know, I think it's impressive that a man who went to Arizona State and has 10 joke writers can read off a prompter. So, you know, my education at JUCO and my 3 semesters at Cal that I'm very proud of has worked out for me, and I'm glad to see it's worked out for him as well. So I wish him the best. Again, I don't give a what he says about me. But as long as he understands what acts he said and that I'm not accusing him of being on a list, then I'm all for moving forward.
This saga is so lame, isn't it? Isn't it just so lame?
Also, did he not, like, literally say that he's on the list?
Yes.
Like, this really is, like, the two worst people you know. Like, and Jimmy Kimmel isn't even, like, one of the worst people. He's just... I feel like it's just like he's now being drugged down to where Aaron Rodgers lives, where it's like, this is just like the lowest common denominator.
And he's not even being funny. I watched the monologue. It was very like.
But you don't really like Jimmy Kimmel.
I used to like that.
Yeah, 25 years ago.
He late night talk show comedy sucks. Is basically what I took away from that. Like, I'd prefer, and I suppose this is going to make me like, oh, Paul's like MAGA, but like, I like Dave Chappelle, I like Shane Gillis, I like Tim Dillon, like, that's my style.
You literally, oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, they're okay. they're vicious with their comedy, and I just don't get that from late night television, and I don't think it's really good. Like, oh, it's PG? Great. I know. I just listed like three,
and then you're like, people are gonna overreact to this and think that I'm MAGA.
They probably are.
I literally do not like a liberal comedian.
But it's not comedy. What, like, two A's, like, to make fun of Aaron Rodgers, like going to a community college and then to college. Like, oh, okay, dude. I don't know. I think he could have done better if he had writers that are supposed to write jokes,
like Paul Gallant.
Hire me. I'd leave.
What would your roast on Aaron Rodgers be?
I'm not going to share that with you. They don't pay me. They don't pay me enough.
Or would it be too edgy for radio?
It's too edgy
for
radio.
Like all your comedy idols, too edgy.
It's 100%. I'm too lazy to ever write jokes again because I'm still so ashamed of how no one laughed at me the time that I opened up for Donnell Rawlings at the Houston Improv. But I'm so thankful for Donnell for giving me that opportunity. Donnell Rawlings, another stand-up comic that I like. How about that? How about that, Sean?
I have a black friend, too.
Hey, I said Dave Chappelle first. I have two black friend comedians. I'm kidding on that front. This has gotten really dumb, though, this back and forth between them. Here's my conspiracy theory. They both work for Disney, and this is a way that they get other people to talk about them. Like, for example, the former king of radio, Howard Stern, who even weighed in on the back and forth.
I got really pissed off about that. Like, dude, okay, you want to attack Jimmy?
Ridiculous.
Attack him, but
yeah.
But you don't say, that's like saying, well, you know, like, oh, he has HIV or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, well,
he has unprotected sex and
yeah,
he has HIV.
Yeah, it's sex with a farm animal. I mean, what are you doing?
I don't know if it's the same, but again. I'm so tired of this, and I really do think this is just Disney trying to get everybody to talk about two of its products. And guess what? Mission accomplished, because what have we done the last 5 minutes? I think everybody involved in this is a soft boy. Everybody.
Even Howard Stern?
Yeah. Oh, Howard Stern especially.
It just feels like he's like, yeah, we're throwing you in here too.
This is the same guy that you, like, this is what bums me out about guys like Howard Stern and Jimmy Kimmel. And maybe this is just a byproduct of when you get older, you change a little bit in your style. But I mean, these guys used to be like pioneers when it comes to like pushing limits of television, of radio. And now here they are, and they're nowhere close to the guys that they used to be. I hope I never end up like that, and I hope if I am, I hope that I'm at least self-aware enough to realize it, or if I get called out by somebody about that. Anyway, continuing to go through soft boys. Who's soft? 713-780-3776. You can also get me on Twitter, at Gallant says, does Jim Harbaugh still have the winning edge? Sounds like he might be coming back to Michigan based on a post-national championship interview that he did with Scott Van Pelt, but this does not seem on brand for Jim Harbaugh.
And give the guy some time, too. I mean, I told him 3 or 4 days ago, we're moving spring practice back. We usually start on Valentine's Day,
okay,
February 14th, because we love football. But this year, we're going to move it back. We're going to move it back about a month. That'll be good, too. We'll have some nice weather in the spring in Ann Arbor.
So here's what disappoints me, and you know me, I'm a Michigan man by proxy, as an apostle of Tom Brady. Tom Brady always talks about his Michigan strength and conditioning coach, and you know what that person always told him his favorite championship was? Whenever Tom Brady asked, the next one. I think Jim Harbaugh's lost his edge. He's already saying, oh, we're gonna push spring practice back a little bit. Hey, Jim, game's over. Time to focus on the next one. If you're the hardest of the hardos when it comes to football coaches, I'm sorry. You seem like a nervous bird right now.
Yeah, no days off. No days off.
Thank you.
This also feels like, I mean, using this as evidence that he's coming back, I don't know. He has to set a schedule just in case he doesn't leave.
Right.
He's not going to fully be like, I don't know. didn't have anything written down. So, I do think that, I mean, there's a chance. I'd probably put it at like 60-40 he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think there's like a good chance he comes back.
They got to figure out what the hell is going on with the suspension. And that's the biggest
he could. I mean, Michigan can keep throwing money at him. And it could just be a Pete Carroll situation where he wants to get out before. And he just won a national championship. So, he can just be like, yep, mission accomplished. See you later. We'll get punished.
Yeah.
Although the NFL will punish him for any crimes. Remember that?
That's true. Sure.
Okay.
A tweet from the Ohio State football account. This is soft boys because I think this is a sign that they're scrambling. Ohio State football is holding walk-on tryouts. The Ohio State University. I thought they were above that. They lost Kyle McCord to a superior football program in Syracuse, so I understand that. I'm just kidding when I say that, of course.
Have you looked at their schedule?
Their schedule this year.
They might have more wins.
I can't even say that about Ohio State. I can't. No, like, I'd
say 9-3? Can they both go 9-3?
I'm only saying Syracuse will have more wins than Texas A&M. That's the only one I'm going to be willing to do.
You're setting your sights a little bit
very low. Very low. Like, 7 wins. Probably going to be more than Texas A&M. Anyway, to be eligible to try out, you must have completed the following. Enrolled on Ohio State main campus as a full-time student with a class schedule and cumulative GPA printed to verify. Ah, damn. Well, I can't try out. Enrolled in the NCAA Eligibility Center. Have a physical completed within the last 6 months along with sickle cell trait test with results and a hard copy proof of both. And completed tryout paperwork. There will be an interesting meeting on Thursday, February 1st at 5. At the Woody Hayes Athletic Center that will serve as a deadline to submit all paperwork. If you cannot submit or attend the meeting, you will not be permitted to try out. I really want to see this because I want to see how low is the lowest of the Ohio State walk-ons and how many of them I'm still better than at football.
The guys that get cut from the walk-on tryout is like what I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Because that could have just been me in college. Like, it could have just been me showing up, giving a guy some papers with a physical on it, being like, yeah, let me run some routes for you.
My biggest regret from college is not trying to walk on at Syracuse. It's my biggest regret.
Yeah.
I should have done it. Alas.
Well, now Syracuse, the
especially
program.
Now.
Yeah. If you could have gone, if you could have played for,
I could probably go back and be a graduate.
What's the guy? What's the coach's name?
Fran Brown.
Fran Brown. I was gonna say Dana Brown. I was like, that's not Dana Brown. Yeah. If you could go back and play for Fran Brown, yeah. Man. Elijah Robinson calling the defense with you being the Ed Reed, the white Ed Reed of the Elijah Robinson defense.
Thank you for remembering what my style was.
Oh.
Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Ohio State, give me a good NIL contract. I'll come up and try out for you. But I'll only try out, and then, like, I need the money up front. $10,000. It's not a lot. You guys can afford it, huh? Think about all the tattoo money you gave to Terrell Pryor.
This is the dirtiest recruiting that you can do.
It's all out in the open these days, baby. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There might be an inner Texans locker room controversy after a very strange announcement that took place earlier today. And speaking of controversies in the Houston Texans, have you seen the succession style weirdness that's going on in the McNair family? Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dog Show.
How much weight do you think I could bench press? Just make a guess. Ballpark figure.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
I don't think the Houston Texans care about this. However, CJ Stroud, who won AFC Offensive Player of the Week about 20 minutes ago or so, did not deserve that award. It should have gone to Nico Collins. I'm surprised that Stroud got it, because Stroud played well, don't get me wrong, on Saturday night. But the entire Houston Texans offense was Nico Collins. Touchdown on the first play of the game. Almost 200 yards receiving. The screen on the left sideline and the catch and run that set the Texans up inside the 10. The catch on the right sideline, as C.J. Stroud was drifting backwards, a diving catch that honestly was just a beautiful reception by Collins. The catch while getting horse-collared over the middle to set up touchdown number 3, also on that same drive. Collins was better than Stroud on Saturday. I don't think that's a debate. Now, I don't think it's going to cause inter-locker room strife, because I honestly don't think that the Ohio State alum and Michigan alum care all that much about who wins Offensive Player of the Week. But I just think that it should have gone to Nico. Second time this year that C.J. Stroud has won the award.
I wonder how many times a wide receiver has even won it.
A good question.
Because it feels like if a wide receiver has a good enough game, like their quarterback would just get it.
I bet if he had a second touchdown reception that he would have won it. But even then, that's weird. I disagree with this decision by the NFL.
Amari Cooper won it when he played the Texans.
God.
Rightfully so.
Were there any other? Oh, yeah. Who else has won Offensive Player of the Week against the Texans? Amari Cooper, Zach Wilson. Did Bryce Young?
I can't do it off the top of my head.
I don't
think
Bryce Young did. Desmond Ritter might have.
He did not.
He did not? Okay, no. Good. Good. Yeah, a lot of guys have had good performances against the Houston Texans. Specifically,
did Baker Mayfield.
Mayfield played well.
He played well, but he didn't win NFC player.
Pretty funny that now I saw a write-up talking about the Texans season this year, and the win over the Bucs is one of their top wins because the Bucs are a playoff team. So it's like wins over the Browns, Jaguars, who didn't make the playoffs, Steelers, and Bucks. That's the resume.
So one team who didn't make the playoffs.
Who they split with.
The Bucks, who
have Baker Mayfield under center. He's having a good year, but yes.
And spiritually did not make the playoffs.
It's the NFC.
They will play a playoff game, but they did not make the playoffs. And then the Steelers who are even worse than the Bucks.
Steelers. I can't believe the Steelers are in. But, hey, they got in because the Jaguars blew it. And that was because they disrespected the terrible towel. I don't want to be disrespectful when talking about this, because whenever you talk about rich and powerful people, you better choose your words carefully. All I know is that the brother of our esteemed, throwing up the H leader of the Houston Texans, Cal McNair, is Robert Carey McNair, one of the sons of Texans owner Janice McNair. It's interesting, we do call Cal McNair basically the owner, has asked a Harris County probate court to declare her incapacitated and appoint her a guardian. Robert Carey McNair Jr., a son of Janice McNair and the late Bob McNair, November 27th, submitted an application of guardianship of an adult person and estate, according to court records. Janice McNair is opposing the application, as is Cal McNair, her son who serves as the chairman and CEO of the Houston Texans. In an affidavit submitted to the court in December, Janice McNair said Carey McNair was, quote, seeking to limit or terminate my rights and appoint himself as guardian of my estate. Always tricky when it comes to things that are reported to court. You read that and you think to yourself, oh, if Janice McNair is able to say that, doesn't that mean that she's totally fine? But of course, this is something that could have been crafted by a lawyer. Again, I do not know. I'm just reading from the report in the Houston Chronicle. The affidavit accused Carey McNair, the CEO of McNair Interests, of using his role as fiduciary in the family's companies to obtain, quote, confidential financial and personal information, end quote. In asking for the records to be sealed, Janice McNair called the application part of a, quote, family dispute, and said public disclosure of more details would have a, quote, serious impact on the Texans. Yeah, Bob O'Carey. Hey. Didn't you realize we were in the midst of a playoff push? Did you doubt that the Houston Texans would make the playoffs? Are you like that bitch owner in Major League, who was hot, but still a bitch, who was, you know, trying to make things a little bit easier for her to move the team to Miami to just make them absolutely terrible, horrible? Bob O'Carey. Listen, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes with your family. All I'm saying is, hey, can we wait until February? Can we wait until March? How dare you distract the Houston Texans? And I, having zero knowledge whatsoever about what's going on and about all parties involved.
Good cover.
I am taking the side of the owner and CEO of the Houston Texans, who, guess what? Man of the people. You see him on the grill? You see him throw up the H? I've never seen Bob O'Carey do that. Nope. Not once. Not ever. How dare he, at this moment in time, try to submarine the Houston Texans? And I suppose it's unfair to allege that, but I mean, why else would he do this in November? Is he trying to ruin Thanksgiving and Christmas for his family while he's at it? How dare he? This is his mother.
That is a very funny thing to do in November, especially November.
Right. This is an outrage. This is an absolute outrage. And look, all billionaire families do seem like they're the television show Succession, which is interesting. Maybe money doesn't solve all problems, but how dare this person, who I'm not even going to acknowledge as a McNair, disrespect the Houston Texans in the midst of a playoff push? Is this Jack Easterby?
You took his last name away from him?
Is this Jack Easterby? Did Jack Easterby find another McNair to like weasel his way into the ear of or lap of?
This is literally, so you're literally calling him Littlefinger from Game of Thrones.
I mean, this would be the most Littlefinger way to get back in the game, is to find the brother,
yeah, and use
the brother to take away ownership. And he's doing it for the Lord. Like that's why you're doing it. Oh, man, This could be Easter. Is this an attempt at revenge by Deshaun Watson? I don't know. I'm just asking the question.
We're
not making any allegations. We're asking the questions. We're not like Aaron Rodgers making allegations. We're asking the questions.
It's Carrie, right?
Carrie.
Was Carrie and Bill O'Brien maybe tight? Maybe that's what's happening, you know?
Uh-huh.
I'm just trying to think of all the Littlefinger type characters, all the backroom politics. Bill O'Brien loves some backroom politics.
Backroom politics, yeah, man. They've had some.
I know
they've had some weasels in this organization when it comes to doing whatever they possibly can to get power.
Looking out for number one.
And I gotta say, how do you read this by the brother? And I have no idea what's going on, and I don't want to be sued into oblivion. Though I don't have much. Just don't take my cat. I can survive everything else. Or my condo. My condo's really rad.
Carrie McNair. For damages, I'm only asking for Arya the cat.
Just let me keep Arya. But,
no, you son of a bitch.
But Care Bear, listen, bro. Care Bear, like, I got my eye on you. Because I don't know how I'm supposed to look at this as anything other than, like, you trying to own the team. You know what? I always thought with the other McNair brother, I always thought the other McNair was like the one who was like doing a more difficult job. And maybe these are the tactics that he learned while doing the more difficult job. Because owning an NFL team, let's be honest, like it's a constantly appreciating asset. But this is quite the move. And Cal, don't let brother do this. I want a brother fight. I want a brother fight like at the end of Succession. I want a brother fight. And Cal, you can tag me in. Although, actually, wait a second. No, I don't want to be a part of this. I don't want to die. I don't want to wake up in a trunk. Paul Gulat Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can also join on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN 97.5. We got a little garbage time coming up next, including another Taylor Swift story. And this one's really something. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around. First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Did you know Pendleton Whiskey is the official whiskey of the PBR Tour? Did you know the PBR Tour, the world's premier bull riding organization, is coming to Toyota Center January 26th and 27th? Go to PBR.com for tickets. Pendleton Roundup is basically a rodeo that led to the birth of Pendleton Whiskey. It's something that has defined what it means to be a cowboy, and you get to get a little of that cowboy spirit in every single spirit of Pendleton Whiskey. PendletonWhiskey.com. You can check out all of the different bottles that they have, the different spirits that they have, and even check out some of the cocktails you can make using Pendleton Whiskey. It's made with the finest northern grains and cut with Mount Hood Glacier water. Had myself a celebratory Pendleton Whiskey after our beloved football team vanquished the evil Indianapolis team over the weekend. Guys, it's a whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. It's Pendleton Whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5.com. Tiger Friendly Radio.
About an hour ago, we had an incident where one of the employees stuck their arm through the cage and a tiger tore her arm off. I can give you your money back, or I can give you a rain check.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
11:53, just a couple of minutes to go. Let's do a little garbage time.
I'm only happy when it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
The latest in Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce news. Gotta say, rough couple of days for the Washington Post and the New York Times. The Washington Post, where Jason LaCanfora putting out that rumor that Nick Caserio might leave for New England, with the source being another general manager. And also for the New York Times, which is under attack by the fearless entity known as Online Swifties. A controversial New York Times opinion piece openly speculated this week whether Taylor Swift is a closeted queer person. And it's drawn the ire of her associates, whatever that means. You know, you'd think that the New York Times would frown upon outing people, even if this is an opinion piece. Just a thought. Just a thought. Especially considering they lean left. Whatever. It's fine. Sean, while we're talking about voting and publications of record, there's the AP poll, but there's also the coaches poll. And Sean, we saw for the final coaches poll of the season that there are some noteworthy votes as far as the final vote in the coaches poll. Texas finished fourth in the final coaches top 25. Utah's Kyle Whittingham, ULM's Terry Bowen, and Middle Tennessee's Rick Stockstill had Texas eighth on their ballot. Eighth? I could see fourth, but they beat Alabama, so I guess you got to put Georgia ahead of them.
Yeah.
If you're going to put them fourth.
But then you have Georgia ahead of Alabama, who Alabama beat Georgia.
Right. So that's tricky, too. But eighth? That's
It's anyone who takes the coaches poll seriously, like, just walk off a bridge. Like, just,
well, how about this, Sean? What about Tom Herman?
It's the least meaningful thing in the world.
Tom Herman from FAU, former Texas coach, has Texas sixth. I mean,
that's funny.
That does seem salty.
That I can tip my cap to.
Even though we're off by probably one or two with that, that seems salty.
Yes, because I don't have his ballot in front of me, but I assume that he would have to have either Alabama or Georgia ahead of them.
Yeah.
And also another team.
Yeah, I would think
Oregon.
So.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a bizarre one.
Yeah, I love the fact that fans actually get mad at this. Because the final ranking, hey, here's news about the final AP or coaches ranking. It doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter.
Isn't the whole point of college football fandom to just get mad?
Yes. And we have 8 months to get mad.
That's what the college football playoff was. Like, hey, we released the college football playoff rankings. Are you mad? That's why we released them like this.
College football is mostly about talking about college football. Like, most of the time, you
spend, like basketball.
Most of the time, you're talking about college football and not playing college football.
Right, because the games are 6 hours and have 20-hour commercial breaks.
Well, it's also just like the season happens in 4 months, and then 8 months, it dominates these people's lives.
The remaining eight is pretty crazy. Today in Alien Watch, there is footage that's been released of a jellyfish craft that's invisible to the naked eye. It was found over Iraq at a sensitive facility back in 2018. Also, David Grush, the U.S. Air Force officer and former intelligence official who's also a UAP whistleblower, spoke to 60 people organized by a Wall Street bigwig saying an adversary country is considering UFO disclosure to get ahead of the U.S. The non-human intelligence related to UAP looked like the typical gray alien. The U.S. has a UFO craft of about 40 feet, but once a person goes inside, it's the size of a football field and has the ability to produce a terawatt of energy, and only about 50 people know the full extent of the nature of the UFO phenomenon. So when you think about the biggest game of the season for the Houston Texans on Saturday and the biggest day of your life, remember that the biggest days of your lives could be numbered thanks to UAP. So there you go. Don't want to scare anybody, but hey, this has been the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes, our texters, our twitchers, our tweeters and callers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. Connor and Beard are up next. Peace.
We usually start on Valentine's Day,
okay,
February 14th, because we love football.
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dracula Flow.
I'm Dracula. I'm 12 million years old. I have more perks than there are stars in the Leo cluster.